Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Mouse Jones.
I'm Mac Wilds.
I'm Fly Ra.
And we are
Live Next Door.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Happy Monday. Happy Monday. Happy Monday. Or maybe Tuesday. I don't know where it's at. Where you at? I don't know. I don't know. Let me not be presumptuous. You know, it is 2021. Tuesday may identify as Monday, and Monday may identify as Friday. I don't know, but I want to be respectful, and I want to make sure I'm making space. So happy
smart
day.
Man, smart man.
Happy day.
Smart man.
Happy day. Happy day. Whatever day it is that you're listening to this, I'm probably going to get in trouble for that. I know it. I'm getting in trouble for that. I know it. I know it. There's going to be somebody in my comments, and they're going to be like, Mouse, that was rude. That was something for, I don't know. Listen, I know I live my life to make space for Black people. So if that was offensive, that's on you. It's not on me. It's on you. Because we laughed here, okay? Us with the privilege of knowing what day it is, we laughed. There may be people out there, you know, who don't have the privilege of knowing what day it is.
Yep.
Are we not knowing what day it is shaming?
Shaming?
Are we not knowing what day it is phobic?
Mouse, you are. Dang, I got it. What is the word for the weeks, the days of the week? I'm trying to think of like what is the actual like the $20 word for the days of the week.
You gotta make it up.
You're day phobic.
You just gotta make it up. You're day phobic. Now look at me.
You're week phobic.
Terrible. You're 14 day phobic. Okay, really, honestly, is it truly 14 days or is it a social construct? Listen, we're just having fun. Y'all be all right. Listen, what I do want y'all to understand, though, I am a little phobic of something. I am Hakeem Campbell phobic. I am Kimmy Gibbler phobic. What that means? That means if you have not signed up to our Patreon, I'm phobic. I'm tired of y'all broke asses. I'm tired of y'all acting cheap. I understand.
Is it broke phobic? Broke phobic?
I'm definitely broke phobic. Yeah. But like I said, I understand it's a pandorama. I understand, so I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to you motherfuckers. You motherfuckers who's been hitting your SBAs, your PPPs, your unemployments. I'm talking to you, niggas. Ye who have not Patreoned. Let's fix that, okay? Head over to patreon.com/guysnextdoorpod. Become a patron. Pick up your keys. We tell you every week what's over there. New episodes, exclusive episodes.
Exclusive episodes, uh-huh. There we go.
We got exclusive Bodega Baptist episodes. We got full videos of the Monday and Thursday buffoonery that we take part in.
Yep. There's merch.
There's merch.
And the merch is so fire. There's
access to first tickets to the tour. Huh. Oh, did I just let something out? Did I just let something out? Guess I did. All that and more is on our Patreon, okay? If you want to see what I did for 30 minutes waiting for this recording to start. That too is over there.
Indeed.
Our text messages are on Patreon. It's just everything over there. Guys Next Door Pod. Patreon.com/Guys Next Door Pod. Go check that out. If you guys have a letter that you want read on air, make sure you send it to guysnextdoor123@gmail.com. Now, if you want that letter read on air, you got to put your own fake name in the subject line or Che's going to read what's in front of her. Now, if it is a relationship question, doesn't have to be. But if it is, you know the rules. Send a picture of you and your suitor. Okay? You, suitor. I need to know what's going on because I want to make sure I'm giving fair advice. I don't want to give side teeth advice to a person who don't got no side teeth.
Wow.
I don't want to do that.
Wow.
Imagine me giving, because the advice I would give to a person without side teeth is drastically different from the advice I would give to a person who does
Jesus
not
Christ.
Have
that.
Who does
Jesus Christ. Teeth. Come on, Mouse Jones.
Two different people. There's two kind of there's two kind of people in the world. People with side teeth and you savages.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Also, our YouTube back up and running, so make sure you subscribe. YouTube, you don't want to miss any of the episodes and the buffoonery we got going over there. YouTube content coming as well, so make sure you are subscribed to What Guys Next Door Podcast. That is youtube.com/guysnextdoorpodcast. Boom, boom, boom. Pretty sure. For those who waste their idle time away in quarantine and during the pandorama on Clubhouse, guess what? We have a Clubhouse room. So if you are on Clubhouse, make sure you find Guys Next Door and follow it. Follow the greenhouse. Follow the Guys Next Door group. Me, I'll be on there. Mac will be there. Ryan will be there. We'll be having discussions, fun rooms. We do GTD radio. Get the Drawers radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evening, sometimes on Sundays. It's like Quiet Storm, but way ratcheter and louder. But yes,
yeah,
come hear all your good R&B toxicity feels over there at GTD radio. We show some love to some of the colored context queens. We talked about Dirty Mackin' and why it's okay. All that and more, you know. We spoke about that. So
hold on, wait. You said why door. Dirty Mackin' is okay?
What? Huh?
I mean, I guess I can't say anything because there are a bunch of Mac Wild songs that are definitely Dirty Mackin'. So, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. Mouse Jones Dirty Mac'd one time and one time only. And you know what? I don't mind telling the story.
What?
I don't mind.
I mean, it could be story time. It could be story time this early on.
Fuck it. Story time. And if you want to hear this motherfucking story, guess
okay.
what you gotta go? You gotta take your broke ass to Patreon and sign up because this is where the exclusive stories live. Okay? All right, so this is about me Dirty Mackin'. I want to let y'all know, don't regret it, first and foremost. If I had the chance to do it again, I'd do it the same exact way today.
Wow.
Okay? So this was back 2017, one of them. And I was talking to a young lady. This young lady happened to be like that. She was bisexual. Mm-hmm. She was talking to me. She was talking to another woman. I was okay with this until I seen that the young lady that she talks to resembled me a lot. All right, now listen, y'all. Now, we've been giving y'all this, literally been giving y'all this podcast for 2 years. We can finally say 2 years now.
We can,
right,
about
saying
to say,
2 years,
yes,
probably about
yes.
2 years, but I can say 2 years. And then for 2 years, we finally had a technical difficulty, but guess what? It's all good now, okay? All right? We're good. We're back. So, yeah, there was that. So, story time. Go get that. That was crazy. How are you? I don't think we ever asked that.
We don't usually start like that. And that's.
And I think because we kind of know how each other are, or we guess how each other is.
We talk very often, and you know, as open as we are on the show, we're pretty much that open in our text messages. So
or even in our FaceTimes and all of that stuff. But mm-hmm. we are usually very open. But as you ask, I'm good.
Are you saying
I'm about to fold these legs up. About to fold these legs up. Absolutely. The fuck? It's good. It's good for lower lumbar support. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, how are you, Mac? How are you?
honestly, bro, I'm good. It has been, I'm not gonna lie, it has been one of those days that I had to sit back and count my blessings. And really just, one, appreciate the place that I am, two, appreciate the place that I've come from, and really understand that, you know, that this is a marathon and not a sprint. Mm-hmm. So it was just another, it was a day of Christina, my mom's, and even myself kicking me in the ass and just reminding myself that this is a marathon and not a sprint. What about you, brother?
I'm good. I am good. It's weird trying to figure out this space that I guess we've been trying to figure out for the past 2 mm-hmm. years. Not 2 years. Past year, yeah. Though.
I'm about to say, yo, we're really about moment, to come up on a year. Of a full year of pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
And in that year, so much has changed and so much has regressed. But I'm good. I'm good. I'm not one to complain. I'm good. I'll figure it out. Our prayers are with our brother.
That's
Ryan.
A big fact.
You know, we typically try not to keep, we try and keep these episodes as evergreen as possible, but when family is involved, family is involved. So if y'all wondering where Ryan is dealing with a death in the family. So, you know, when he hurts, we hurt. So our prayers are with our brother Ryan.
Big facts, big facts.
And you know, we will, you know, we'll be, he'll be back. He'll be back in the driver's seat. He'll be back in the crib when he's mm-hmm. ready. But until then, me and Matt
we are here, ladies and gents.
Che is here. She's somewhere.
She's literally somewhere in the house.
but we're here. And I and we were talking before, we're talking offline, mm-hmm. right? Because that sounds so professional. We're speaking offline about this.
Yeah.
You know, I like these podcasts and Clubhouse terminologies have got me. I'm in there. I'm in. We were speaking about this. We were having a dialogue about this
a slight And, a slight back and forth.
A slight back and forth, as we usually yes. would. But it's important that we do this here with this platform.
Indeed.
That I feel is it's almost like out.
I would
of
like mind. To I would like to reset the room, guys. If you don't know, you're listening to Guys Next Door. This is the Guys Next Door podcast. I am Mac Wilds. Mouse Jones is on the stage, and you know.
Make sure you follow the moderators. Follow all of the moderators.
Oh man,
no, but we were talking about what we wanted to talk about today, and I think like both of our eyes lit up when we brought up this topic, and it was, I think, I don't know what it is. Maybe because we're like literally, I don't know, not anymore, but we're a little over being 15. Like we're literally like 15 years removed from being yep. 15. So I don't know, but for like the past 2 months, I've just been like rethinking or like reliving or like reimagining like 15, like what it was to be 15. Like I remember that age so vehemently. I remember the good. I remember all of mm-hmm. the bad. All of the twisted mindset we had as 15-year-olds. And I look at how far a lot of us have come 15 years since. I'm like, what would you do if you had the chance to go back and speak to 15-year-old you? right? Mm. So in this episode, the way we're going to preference this is I'm going to throw out some scenarios, yep, right? And that's how we're going to talk to 15-year-old us in these, like, blocks almost, if
it
that
does,
makes sense.
It does. I hear you.
So if you guys are at home or if you're at work, there's going to be, like, probably be, like, the most structure you ever get from us. So enjoy it. Okay. So, Matt, we're going to kick it off with you. And if you got, same thing. We're throwing it back and forth. So, Mac, I'll start off with you. You meet 15-year-old you, but you go back 15 years, right? He's not here today. You're going back to where he was at. You meet 15-year-old you.
Yeah.
What are the pitfalls in the what are those dark moments that you're going to warn him about? If you're going to warn him about them, what are you going to warn him about, and how are you going to, I guess, prepare him for those dark moments?
Whew. 15. That was
That's The Wire.
Yeah, 15 was literally the year right before The Wire. Maybe just about the year before The Wire. Like, I've been acting for maybe like a year or two by that time. Haven't really done too much crazy, like nothing too crazy. Did that guest spot on Miracles Boys, and everything was kind of like, you know, I went to school and told all of my friends, and everybody was, oh shit, he's on The End. You remember The End?
The End, yes. The End.
I would tell 15-year-old me to start. There's a lot of work that's gonna need to be done to get to a good place. And I think at 15, I was very happy. I was very naive to the fact of, or to the ills of the world, or even to the ills of my own mental. And
how so?
Just, I think there's always people always say, or I often hear, especially now, that black men, especially, well, black people, period, but black men especially need therapy. All black men, all black people, period, but all black men. We all kind of go through a very traumatic experience being young, black, and in America. So I don't think I fully understood what the microaggressions would have led to. And I would have, I don't think the pitfalls came until much later, when everything started to build up. So it wasn't until after the buildup and me not realizing that there was something really building up that it all fell down. But during that age, at 15, going to a majority white school, coming home, feeling the microaggressions from the kids in my neighborhood, and feeling like I had to probably do more or be more because I didn't want them to look at me differently, I would probably help my 15-year-old self realize the microaggressions, be able to see them and show and let him know, like, it's okay to understand that these are problems, and it's okay to not to say no. It's okay to say no to certain things. It's okay to say yes to certain things. You don't have to be afraid of, you don't have to be afraid of what people think. You don't have to move because you're trying to impress the hood. You don't have to move because you're trying to impress these white people. Like, nigga, you got to do what you got to do for you. I don't think I realized selfishness, and that it's, I didn't realize selfishness isn't a bad thing until I got older.
So you felt selfish. So you felt selfishness then was like such this bad thing that you didn't even have a healthy level of selfishness. So you're probably probably like, you know, we're adults now, but at, back then you didn't realize that you just were setting yourself up not to have any boundaries.
Facts.
Way to kick off.
So,
that's a great answer.
So, okay. So same question for you, right? You mm-hmm. jump in this time machine hot tub.
Yeah.
You wind up back in those dark and scary times of the 15-year-old Mouse Jones.
Young Mousy.
Yeah. What would the questions like? What would the I guess the same question. Like, what would you tell yourself about the pitfalls that he is about to encounter?
15-year-old me would say, first and foremost, and I guess, you know, statute of limitations up at this point.
It's about 15 years, so it makes sense.
About 15 years. So listen, if they get me on this, then boy, oh boy, I just deserve to get got. 15-year-old me, so at this point, I had been, you know, doing petty little B&Es in a white neighborhood. And I think I didn't find a gun until I was 15. Mm. So the first thing I would say is don't touch it. don't touch it. I think people don't understand. And I say this all the time. I did not have to do any of the shit I did. I grew up on Long Island. Yes, I grew up on the black side. And yes, it was underserved, underprivileged. But it was for all encompassing terms, it was a middle class black neighborhood. I was not subject to the same adversities as some of my counterparts or some of the counterparts that lived in the inner city, right? But my choices led me to where my choices led me to. I didn't know who I was without that gun in my hand. Like, that gun was an extension. I found ways to bring it to school, to church, to the barbershop.
In Jesus' home?
I did. The thing was on. He will get clapped. But it does something to you, boy.
Oh, trust me. Like, I know. I know. If I didn't get the wire, I would have been a whole different person.
You would have got the wire.
I would have been a whole different person. And I think a lot of people, they see my disposition. They see I can use really nice words and speak very eloquently, and I'm very happy and cheerful. But I keep on trying to tell people, if I didn't get the wire, my life would have went a whole different way.
Yeah, because you would have had to survive. You would have had to survive Capleton.
Absolutely. 200%.
Like, you would have had to survive that. So, yeah, like, it literally became an extension. You know what I mean? And I put myself in a predicament where I couldn't enjoy my childhood. That's very weird to say at this age. It's like, yo, I didn't enjoy my childhood because I was out wilding. And as much as my parents could, they did all they could to protect me. So we couldn't go do, because I was punished or I was being kept, because I was being kept away from tearing up neighborhoods and things of that nature. So I would also say, stop being stupid. Like, you're mad smart. Like, I was the type of kid who would play stupid but then get mad if you treated me like I was stupid.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we know those.
Like, you're what? What?
You think I'm stupid?
You think I'm stupid? I know mad words. Fuck you talking about. Like, I'm mad good at telling you, like, the only thing I had a problem with was math. Every other subject was fire, boy. I also would have, as much as you can, right? As much as you can. Because I don't want this to be a thing where it's like, everything we learned was wrong. But as much as I could, I probably would have changed my interactions with girls mm-hmm. and love. And because I was so against it.
I feel like we started to talk about this on a previous mm-hmm. episode, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was so against it just because, you know, I remember my dad saying, you know, don't worry about these girls. You know, the girls will come. You know, you don't need no girlfriend. But you do. Need a little girlfriend. You know what I mean? You need a little first heartbreak. You need that in high school. You need that in your formative. Because, boy, I tell you this. When I suffered that first heartbreak at motherfucking 26. Ooh,
that's too old to have your first heartbreak, bro. I don't say that. The reason I say that is because, like, by that time, you already kind of set in your ways a little way. Like, you know how you move, and then everything shifts.
It hit, and it hurt. It hurt so bad. It hurts to this day. To this day. But yeah, so I probably would have been, you know, kind of, because, you know, back then, I was just trying to get my little dick wet. And I also probably would have told myself, yo, man, it's you can't fix, I guess name redacted, but my biological father. You can't fix him, boy. He is who he is, and you can't wear that.
Yeah.
You can't wear that. You can't wear that. You have a father who's been here since you were six. He's right here.
And holding it down.
At 15 is when I think I was always a little too prideful to have any self-hate, but it definitely was like I was looking at myself like, yo, why can't you be more like him? Mm-hmm. But I can't because blood, I'm dissonant. So you know what I mean? Like, and I was, that's where that turmoil started, where I was like feeling like, yo, what the fuck? And I wore that. And I took it on me. It's not my fault. It's not your fault. You get me? It's not your fault, my boy. It's not your fault. And I think I always, even to this day, I pride myself on, you know, even, you know, just because I can say I fucked up doesn't make the fuck up any less hurtful. But that's where it started, right? That's where it started. My dad and my mom always, they'd say, like, I'd be the one. They always knew when I did something because I'd stand next to it. When everybody else would run. Yeah.
You stood right there.
I'd stand next to it. Yep. I stand next to the fire. I stand next to the, you know, the bloody knife, for lack of a better term, me. So I also would tell myself, hey, gear up. You're about to be a dad in 2 years. So ha ha ha.
Hey, get your ass ready, my nigga.
Hey, are you enjoying your lack thereof childhood? Here, you're not gonna have one at all. Here's a child. Yeah, I think that's what I would. In those regards, you know, in regards to the pitfall and things of that nature, I think those are probably the top four things that I could think of. Shit, man, listen, it. Like I said, I want it to be a conversation where we give ourselves advice, not trying to rewrite history.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And I think in these conversations, it's such a line.
It's a very thin line, too.
Because you start like, fuck it, erase it. And then, you know, I don't want to rewrite it. Life is going to happen the way it happened. What is the, if we had this opportunity, what is the advice, exactly. Right? So you meet 15-year-old mm-hmm. you. What are some articles of clothing that you're immediately just throwing out? And 15-year-old dude's gonna look at you like, what the fuck are you doing? But you're throwing it out. What is it?
Oh man. I was always a big fan, even then, like, cause like I said, I first got that Metro card at 13, turning 14, and
the buddy pass.
Little buddy pass. But no, my mom's got me a Metro card to get to the city.
Okay, so I'm starting
to run around the city. I'm starting to see different people wearing different types of clothes. I ain't got the money to do it, but like when Nev would hand me down some shit, this shit would be fire, or I would think it's fire. There was one sweatsuit that I ran into the ground. It was bad. It was bad, bad, bad. I gotta see if I could find a picture. I know it's on my old computer, but I gotta see if I can even turn that shit on. But yo, there's a photo that I have. I'm standing in my sister's room, and it's this gold Aniche. It's gold Aniche fucking velour sweatsuit. It was just, it was like all bad. And I thought I was doing it. I put on a pair of Tims or some Wallabies with that, son. I thought I was doing it. It was disgusting.
I bet you it was filthy.
It was filthy, disgusting work. I felt very bad for myself. I deserved every heartbreak that I got at that time. I was not, son. It wasn't until I met D and Ricky that I really started to get on some like, on some streetwear shit. Like, started to find all like the dope up and coming like streetwear joints, like Chrome Hearts before Chrome Hearts was Chrome Hearts. Like finding fucking
right.
A New York thing. Like really getting into fucking what was that? Frank's Chop Shop, the hats that they used to.
Yes.
Son, going to fucking
wow, you took
going
it back.
To Supreme, going like hitting Bape when they was when before niggas was really getting Bapesters. Fucking remember Famous Stars and Straps, all of that, bro.
Yes, yes,
that,
sir.
Like it wasn't until I met D and Ricky that I really started to get on all of that shit. So, thank you to them for changing my life because goodness, son, funny, right? This story is always funny and I always try to tell it when Christine is around and I think she's asleep now, but, my first date with Christina wasn't a date with Christina. So a lot of people,
I remember you told us. Yes.
So a lot of people, and I guess this could be a freebie story time for you guys, so you guys understand what you guys are getting in the Patreon. So the first time that I met Christina, of course, I was enamored with Shorty. Super.
Right,
like,
of course.
Nigga, seen her in the classroom. The thing that I liked the most about her is that Or all of the kids in the classroom. None of them treated us like we were superstars or anything. We were all just nobody knew who the stars of the show were. It wasn't like they gave us any special treatment than anybody else. We all had to go to school together. We all had to, like, it was all the same thing. I think it was like Christina's third, fourth time there. I always see her in the classroom. We walk in, we about to go to lunch, and they kept this. It was an abandoned school that we were shooting in, so it didn't have like the electric and all of that stuff was provided by us. Mm-hmm. Like it was like with generators that The Wire had. So all like not all of the rooms were lit. There was no fucking heat most of the time. So those cold days was really cold. So she's walking through the halls, like we all of us going to lunch. She's walking through the halls. She's cold as shit. I give her my hoodie. It was this disgusting Def Jam University hoodie. Disgusting hoodie. But she put the hoodie on. She said, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing led to another. I was on some like, yo, I'm feeling her. And she was like, oh, I think you're a really good friend. I want to hook you up with somebody.
Look at her. You made me want to lead the one with.
My nigga, so she hooks me up with one of her friends. I think her friend's name was, well, we'll just say redacted. This isn't Patreon. Patreon. You guys can't get all of
this
that.
This isn't a safe space. It's not a safe space.
So we all go on the date. and we're at the harbor. I forget where we, I think we went to like, ESPN Zone or some shit. And I thought I was doing it. When I tell you I thought I was doing it, I thought I was doing it. Let me tell you the outfit. Super baggy Jerboe jeans on.
Yuck, I'm already disgusted.
Super baggy. Patent leather, red and white Air Force Ones. The Valentine's edition. That's patent leather. The whole thing patent leather.
That's a good sneaker.
I had a red and black. I had a red and white striped shirt on, and then I had a red white Yankee fitted on. Son, I looked like a fucking peppermint.
I was about to say this is too mad.
I looked like Fab on a bad day. It was bad. It was bad. Son, it was so bad that when they left, and this is how I knew I liked Christina. Christina told me that they joked on me the entire time back home. Like, the whole ride back to D.C.
As they should have.
They cut my ass up. But Christina had the heart to tell him, like, yo, let's not talk about him. And
oh, look at her.
Look at that. And, you know.
She's been having my back
since day one. Man.
And she got the ring.
She got the ring. She got the ring. So shout out to her.
She got the ring. Got the motherfucking ring. She figured it out.
She got me together. All right, Mouse Jones. I've been waiting for this one. Oh, man.
Oh, God.
If you can go back into your motherfucking closet at 15, what's some of the jumps you throwing out?
Okay. I'm 5'8". At 15, I was probably 5'1", 5'2". Oh. And I was dead set on dressing like Freeway. Like, I was set on.
Oh, wow.
Like, I was dressed like a Boondocks character.
Wow.
Everything had to be super fucking big. I would throw it all out.
Okay.
Every single bit. You remember a certain fraternity of ours. Remember we would leave our hoodies unzipped.
Oh, absolutely. Tie it up at the top, leave it unzipped.
And then tie our jeans inside of our shoestrings.
Uh-huh. That definitely has to go. I don't know why we all thought we were Omarion and they weren't doing it. It was no bueno.
I had to Dickie suit gone. It would be gone.
Son.
What else? I had this motherfucking the Astros throwback.
Ooh. Wow.
Throw it out. Wow. It was so big. It was a nightgown.
Listen, the one thing that I was glad that I kept that was overly sized. It was ridiculously overly sized because it was oversized on my brother when he handed it down to me. So Vansons were popping at a time.
Big Vanson.
Vansons were popping at a time. And shout out to my mother, man, Monique Muncion, bro. She bought Tahir and Talia a Vanson. They were old enough to get Vansons, but she bought Tahir and Talia a Vanson. She bought Talia like some like limited edition, like red, green, like it was a regular Vanson, but like the colors on the back had some type of pattern, whatever. But my brother, nigga, she got this nigga the Punisher face on the back, the skeleton on the arms, black and white. Son, this shit was so crazy. And then he gave it to me, like, after years of wear and tear. So I'm going to my majority white school with this Vanson on, thinking I'm doing it in front of them, and they on some like, you ride motorcycles? No, you just don't. You don't get it.
You just ruin everything. You ruin everything, Brian.
God damn it, Scott.
Scott, you just ruined everything. Oh my god.
Oh man, but yeah, I kept that joint, and when when I went to LA, thank God for 90210, and I actually bought a motorcycle. That was my jacket.
Oh, you had a had a bike.
I still fire. Ride well once in a blue. I haven't rode a bike in a couple of years now. But yeah, I still have it on my license.
That's fire. That is fire. All right. Let's see. Okay. You meet 15-year-old you. You say, listen, I'm going to show you something. Come with me. What part of life do you take, what part of your life since 15 do you take your 15-year-old self to? What do you want him to experience? What is one thing you got to experience after being 15 that you think 15-year-old me would have loved this and definitely deserved to have this experience?
Damn. Damn.
Pretty fucking good at this.
Yeah, you're pretty good at this. 15-year-old me.
I'm not gonna lie.
15-year-old me. This, you know what I would have done?
Listen.
I would have took him to the 15. The only reason I can't say that one is because he experiences it 2 years afterwards. I was gonna say take him to a Jay-Z concert, but
all
children deserve to see Jigga Man on stage. What did I experience? You know what? I'm gonna go a different way with it. Instead of showing him something that he should have experienced in a good way, I would show him something that he should experience to be able to learn from and grow from at that age, so that when he comes across it, he's ready for it. The ending of 90210.
Come on, elaborate. This sounds big. Sounds important.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I think I thank God for, you know, the things that he's done for me. I thank God often for the things that he's done in my life. I live a very, like, very blessed life, a very, like, it's...
I mean, you get to call me friend.
You
live a great life. Like, you get to call me. You get to say, yo, that's my bro. That's my brother. It's my guy. I can call him. He'll answer.
But the way that a lot of things in my life has kind of gone, I didn't have to go through a lot of the same struggles as a lot of people, and I don't think I fully understood it until the ending of 90210, or not even at the end of the end of 90210. It was until years later. Now the game that we're in, we all know, is very like, tumultuous. It's, you know, you have your ups, yes, you have your downs. There's sometimes people ain't fucking with you. There's sometimes where everybody's wants to give you the world. And at the end of 90210, the way that it ended, it put a really bad taste in my mouth about film, about the film game. And I think that was another very big factor in me backing out of acting for a while. Like, I had music was about to pop off, and I was very much like, you know what, well, I don't have to do, like, I have something else to lean on, so I'm out, peace. For just a little context, when 90210 was about to end, like, we were on our fifth season. They kept on, you know, we kept on trying to figure out if we were going to do a sixth season, how everybody felt about it, what we were going to do, because, you know, people have to set shit up.
Right.
And they kept on telling us, like, yo, you guys are going to come back, or, you know, we're not thinking about dropping you guys or canceling anything. We're, you know, we would let you know. It's nothing like that. Especially because...
And this is what the network is saying? This is what
the network is saying.
Like, the... Okay.
The network, like the actual, like, mm-hmm, not even Fox, CW, I mean, not Fox, CBS is telling that, telling us this.
CBS, okay.
Yeah, nothing. Don't worry about it. It's not gonna be nothing crazy. Like, don't. It's everything is gonna be all good. And I remember there was a certain few of us that, when, mind you, the entire time we've done 90210. If we've done other auditions for stuff, we had to go through CBS. We had to ask, you know, if it was a movie, we had to get cleared. We had all of that stuff. But for some reason, at the end of the, like, literally, we're on episode, if there's 20 episodes, we're on episode 19. For some reason, CBS is hitting us up to audition for other shows that are on CBS.
What some of those shows were?
It was shows that never came out. It was like pilots that they wanted us to jump on and stuff like that. But it was only a couple of us. It was like me. It was, I think, Matt Lanter went out for a role. It was literally like three of us that they were trying to throw bones. And I remember being like, nah, maybe they have some other stuff that they trying to pop off. It wouldn't be like this. We get to episode 20, the last episode. And, you know, we're in the middle of shooting it. And the producers of 90210 are reaching out to the network like, yo, if this is our last season, you have to, like, we would love to know just so we can write it a certain way. Like, we need to know at least how to write it. If this is going to be the end, we should write it as if this is the end. If it's not, we shouldn't write this as the end. They were like, no, write it as if you guys are going into another season. That's what it's looking like. We're telling you, don't worry about it. Cool. Whole script, whole different script. We wrote it out. The shit turns crazy. We're probably 3, 4, 5 days into shooting, and there's maybe 10 days of shooting. So we're like halfway through, and I'm walking into the makeup trailer, and I see Shanae is crying, and I'm like, yo, like, what's going on? She said, you didn't hear? I was like, hear what? And I go on Twitter, like, she said, go on Twitter. I go on Twitter, and all over the internet, all over Twitter, all we had was Twitter back then, but all over Twitter, all over the internet, it was like, yo, all of our fans was hitting us up. Yo, oh my God, you guys are, oh my God, why did they cancel you guys? What the fuck is going on? And we're like, what? Like, what's going on? So now we're calling the producer of 90210, like, yo, did y'all know and y'all didn't tell us? Like, what the fuck is going on? They're like, yo, you're just telling us. We don't know anything. So now we're all trying to get people on the line at CW, blah, 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 at CBS. Nobody's answering.
Wow.
Finally, a day later, the people from CBS, or like the day or two later, the people from CBS try to come on our set, and they're trying to be like, yo, listen, we didn't mean for it to end like this. We didn't mean for it to be like that. You know, we don't know who leaked what. Who leaked what? Like, what do you...
What are you saying? So to me?
from that experience on, and again, it seems minuscule. It seems very like first world problems, but it just was like it kind of just highlighted to me that we are very we could be thrown away. Nobody is indisposable. No show is indisposable. No thing is indisposable in this. And it just left a bad taste in my mouth. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't want to do it no more. And that was a very, very big part. So I would bring my 15-year-old self to that. All of that being said, I would bring my 15-year-old self to that, to feel that and be like, listen, you can't let anybody stop you from doing anything. All of these shits are hurdles. And even if you trip over a hurdle, you got to get the fuck up and keep running. So, yeah.
Mm. You're just going to teach that young man about disappointment
early. You got to. You got to, man. I wish a part of me wishes that, because even then, looking back, I started to be like, yo, I wish I didn't live such a blessed life. I wish I would have gone through the trials and tribulations to understand just this business a lot more than I did. You know, I had a very fairy tale-ish mindset about the game and then left and then had to start all the way at the bottom, like all over again. This shit was crazy. So,
wow.
Same question to you. You can go either way with it, just like I did. If you can go grab 15-year-old Mouse and show him something, either show him something that he's never seen that you got a chance to see later, or give him a lesson that he needs to learn from at that age.
I think, so here goes the thing about 15-year-old Mousy. He's going to get a shit ton of reality checks, okay? In the next coming years, he's going to get a shit ton of reality checks, specifically in the next 2 years when he bring that motherfucking 14-year-old in the world. So I'm not going to give him a reality check, no. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take that kid, because that kid, I remember specifically, that kid had no idea what he was capable of. When I say that, you know, people, that's like a underselling thing. Yeah. Like, you don't know what you're capable of. When I say he doesn't know what he's capable of, he doesn't know he's capable of anything.
Yep.
At 15, I am content with being able to pawn this shit and have my gun and, you know, aspire to be the tough guy that gets all the bitches. No idea. If you asked him what his talent was, he wouldn't know. What is your talent, Mousy? I would take him. I would take 15-year-old Mousy to, you're going to remember, I would take him to BT Weekend, BT Experience of 2018.
Son, I knew you was going to say that.
I would take him there. it's a realization moment, right? I'm blessed to have a lot of the people I was fans of as genuine friends, you being a brother. It was when I don't know if you know, I don't know if I ever told you, but here we are. It was such a, when you began to invite me to things,
mm-hmm.
whether it was New Year's, the party, and not to work.
Just pull up.
Yo, come on, pull up. These were like stamps for me because it said you're more than just the hood kid who's, you know, talking shit on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And no, they're, you're getting stamps. And I'd be in these rooms and people would know who I am because of you. When you invited me to that dinner, the brotherhood.
Yeah.
Remember, it was on the rooftop. Yep. And I think Superfly had just came out. So Trevor's there. And the guy that plays his nemesis is there. And some other people are there.
I think that one was the one that Nipsey came to too.
No, Nipsey came to the one after.
Okay.
Nipsey came, rest in peace. Nip came to 2018,
2019. Okay.
Yeah. Nip came to 2019. When you did it at the spot. But this spot was on the roof with Shape mm-hmm, Moisture. Mm-hmm. And that's where we meet D. Shout out to D, Denora. And I'm like, oh shit. It's not just my friend anymore. It's not just somebody I've been a fan of. This is my peer. Yeah. These are my peers. I remember the boy from Daniel from Insecure.
I can't pronounce his name.
There was a conversation me and him had. It wasn't long at all, but it was the way he talked to me. He didn't know who I was, but there was the assumption that because I'm in this room and the way I carry myself, that I'm somebody. Mm-hmm. That was Friday night. Saturday, I'm going to take this moment to tell you, I'm stunned a little bit.
Oh, shit.
2018, I just got, TRL. Writing at TRL turned into me having my own show.
Mm-hmm.
Two shows on BET. I'll apologize later in the pull-up. That turned into I'll apologize later being such a big deal on the YouTube that they wanted me on the radio room. So I was doing I'll apologize later from the radio room. But I also, shout out to France, I was also hosting, I wasn't billed to host the big concert at Staples Center.
Nope.
I was supposed to host this at LA Live. So I co-host with this guy, fuck, I'm forgetting his name, Vince Swan. Okay. I remember him from being, at the time, there was a lot of, he was an upcoming talent they were behind because he was on 50s. You remember 50 had, 50 Central?
Yes, the
sketch comedy show. So me and him co-hosted. I tore that motherfucker down. Yeah.
I tore
LA Live down to the point Fran said, whoa, mind you, they just hear at this point, New York is just like the industry is just hearing about what I do at Dope Barbecue, Beano Show in Philly, Mixie Brunch. They're just hearing about it. Now you see it. Oh, shit. So I'm dragging 15-year-old.
Oh yeah, through the whole thing.
Because I want you to see
this. Sit right here. Watch this.
I want you to see this. Sit and watch, little nigga. That was Saturday. No, that was that Friday too. No, that was early Saturday. Do that. We go from that to now. I gotta go to the radio room. I want you to see this, young nigga, because shout out to my producer Kira. Shout out to my DP Kev. We just set up, I'll apologize later, like, you know, we had the do-rag mannequin with the questions in it, had the Tims, it was just me. And, that's where we met the City Girls and V and Saweetie, all these early artists. They're rushing to get to these tables. Now, mind you, this is the radio room, so, you know, all your vets are in
there.
All your professionals are in there. We blinked, and I wish I had Kira on the phone. We blinked. There was a line of artists in their PRs lined up in front of the table because they could see how much fun everybody's having at this table. Mousy, I want you to see this because this is what you're capable of. There's something inside of you. So as we're doing that, getting tired, Woo, getting hungry. It's time to eat. My manager comes running in, Max. He says, yo, come on. I said, what happened? He says, come on. I said, where are we going? He's like, yo, you got shut out of pot of lay down. I said, why? He says, yo. No, so he comes in so rushed that I'm thinking I done fucked up. So I said, fuck what I did.
Of course, always. Said, we always, whenever our representation rushes in, it's like, all right, what did I do? What did I do now?
He's flustered. He has this flustered look, like he doesn't know what to do next. So like he's like answering two phones. He has my phone. So it's like he has three at this point. And he says, he's like, yo, whatever you did last night, I said, oh shit. They got you hosting the Staples Center. I said, I would look at Mousy and say, you see this? I said, the Staples Center? He said, the Staples Center. We got to get over there right now. So if anybody knows, Staples Center is right behind LA Live. You got to walk over there. So we run over there. We get over there. I don't have a dressing room. I don't have, honestly, 2 years in a row, I didn't have a dressing room. But
we'll get into that later.
We won't get into that
today. We're not going to get into it today, but understand.
It will never happen that again. It will never happen again, BET. You will never book me for the Staples Center and not have me have a fucking dressing room. Are you fucking, never mind. I don't want Mousy to see that. But what I want you to see is the way you step on that stage with less than 30 minutes to prepare for the biggest crowd to this moment that you've ever seen in your life. Take him to that.
Shit.
And I want him to see you rock that motherfucker. And have artists tell you they ain't never been introduced like that before. Man. That's why I would take him there. Because I feel 15-year-old him needs to see
that's
that.
That's fire.
Because for the next couple of years, his experiences are going to be so curtailed to his proximity and his environment that it's going to shape what he's about to see and the way he's about to see everything. So, yeah, I want you to see this. I want you to see there's a world bigger than North Babylon, Wine Dance, Brooklyn. There's a world bigger than this. There's a world that exists outside of this.
I like that. All right, cool. So
also, be prepared because in two years... shit's about to hit your fan.
In 2 years, it's up for you, champ.
You will never know life the same again in 2 years. So I want you to have all this fun now.
Oh, man.
What you was about to say?
I was going to say, okay, so your time machine is about to go. And you have a few moments left with 15-year-old you. And you have to leave him with a quote.
Whoo, shit.
What would that quote be and why?
I would leave him with a Hove quote, obviously. But this quote is from the Nip record. Remember he said, IRS all on my dick trying to audit all my checks too late. You know they hate when you become more than what they expect. You know they hate when you become more than what they expect. You can't wear other people's perception of you. And as much as this I don't give a fuck mentality you give off, I mean it now. But back then I was saying it, but I really gave a fuck. I don't give a fuck what nobody think. What you think about me? Where now, at 32, and for a very long time I've been like, I don't give a fuck, and keep walking. 15-year-old me would be like, I don't give a fuck. Are y'all caring that I don't give a fuck? Like, you know what I mean? Like, no. You can't wear their disappointment. Moms, dads, aunts, uncles, grandparents, you can't wear their disappointments. They gonna hate when you become more than what they expect. And when I say hate, it's not always a visceral hate. But it's the uncomfortability that they have engaging with you. Now that you've gone further, you've gone past what they expected you to go past. You've surpassed certain things that they didn't expect you to exceed, let alone meet. They didn't expect you to meet this. No, he'll never do that.
He did what?
What? I used to get offended when certain people would be surprised at my accomplishments. I used to get offended. Like, what? What you mean? You what? I told you when I started this was gonna happen. You told me it wasn't. I told you. Why are you surprised? They're gonna hate when you become more than what they expect. Remember that hate isn't always it's like, what? Yeah. What? But I can't live my life worrying about that.
Anybody else. Yeah.
That's the quote.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, now you quote master.
Man, right? Quote master flex. Quote master flex.
Yo, you think the doctor dropped bombs when Funk Flex got his body done?
Son, it's so funny. I'm not even gonna talk about who said it in my group chat, but niggas, somebody in the group chat, and you know, no disrespect to my man Flex. No disrespect to my man Flex. But niggas was like, yo, this nigga Flex got his BBL and he's been acting up. I said,
he's been wearing less going out.
And the only reason I can say that is because we watched you get that.
He got his little body snatch. Sis got her body snatch, and she is outside with all the girls.
Outside with all of the girls.
Sis got her body done. She's outside with Rowdy.
Yes.
She is outside with
in all of the pictures.
French. She's outside with Jadakiss, looking all calm. 36, 42, 33.
Jesus Christ.
Sis is outside.
Son. But yeah. oh my God. The quote that I would say, and I would, the quote that I would tell him is, it's a quote that I've constantly come across. I would change it a little bit, just like add something in it. Mm-hmm. But the quote is from A.A. Milne. And the quote is, you are braver than you believe. You're stronger than you seem. And you're smarter than you think. But the most important thing is, even if you feel like we're apart, I'm always with you. When everything started to kind of come down and I started to really feel all of the things that the world was kind of putting me up against. I think a lot of times I very often was very close to giving up and just didn't understand. I didn't understand my own self-worth. I didn't know my own strength. I didn't know my own abilities. I questioned my abilities. And it just had to get to a place where I realized how dope I am. I realized how smart I am. I realized how strong a nigga is. But I would tell him that. Tell him to just, you know, put that in your pocket. You're gonna need it later. And let that thing marinate for a while. You know, make sure you get up and read that thing every single day, and just understand that, you know,
you can't, it, very similar to yours, you can't let anybody dictate or dictate what you have or the lack thereof.
Right.
It always comes from you. It doesn't come from us. We know where it comes from, but you have to understand that you live in abundance. You are abundant, and you can low key do whatever you want, anything you want. The world is always your oyster. The only person that really stops you is you. So, that's even something that I had to even tell myself today. So, yeah, you are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. But the most important thing is, even if you feel like we're apart, I'm always with you. Understand that even if nobody got you, you got you.
You got you.
And that's all that matters.
Shaba, Bobo.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, it was good talking to you, Mouse. Enjoy the ride.
Right.
I'm going to check in with you in 2 years, see how you're liking life.
And at 15, I was, that was before I became T-Max. So I think I was still either Lil Nev, like they were, you know, my brother's Nev. So I would be Lil Nev, or the family name was Tuffy, because I was always trying to fight.
My family name was Eggly Lemonhead.
Oh my God. It was Tuffy, but the hood name was Bloody Genius. So
there it goes.
Yeah, that's what that was.
All right. Well, listen, y'all. Y'all got to meet us at 15. Yep. To be honest, guys next door, y'all lucky. Because if we would have linked at 15, you motherfucker would have been in for it.
Oh, my God.
But in for it.
Okay? It would have been terrible.
I would have showed up every day. If I knew Mac at 15, I would have showed up every day at the motherfucking YSA.
Nigga.
Until they put me on. Just go. Don't speak. Just go next.
Son, I had everybody in the family on the show. Anybody who came down to Baltimore, I had them on the show. My dad, he was an extra on the show. My sister was an extra on the show. Nev, extra on the son.
They would have wrote me.
Oh, absolutely.
In. Do you understand me? I would have. They would be like, all right, action. Yo, Mike, what up, baby?
What's up, baby?
Good to see you. All right, yeah. You know, yeah. I would have been building my character, talking, because I'm out here 15, hustling, big grip, shooting big niggas. Grip. Whoever needs it, I got you. I'm with you.
Yeah,
we could do this together, Mike and Mouse. We could do this together. You feel me,
son? But yeah, man. That's our episode, man. You know, it was really good talking to you. Little Tuffy. Actually, you know, since Chaylena is probably doing womanly things, we actually do have a listener letter.
Oh, you got it?
I got the listener letter.
Oh, good. Good. I was about to read this shit.
So again, guys, if you don't know, which you should know because we say it every damn week.
You should know.
If you have a...
For 2 years.
We can say that now for 2 years.
2 years. Absolutely.
If you have a letter that you want read on air, you can send it to guysnextdoor123@gmail.com. You know, if it is a relationship letter, it doesn't have to be. You can just be hitting us up to give us some love, or just, tell us about your pet fish that you take walks with.
You're an idiot.
Thank you. But again, if you...
I was like, yeah, take walks with it.
If you really want to have a letter sent up and talked about on air, make sure that you hit guysnextdoor123@gmail.com. So today's joint is from Kitty. Now, Mind you, she sent two letters. And the second letter she says first, she said, honestly, I just reflected on the fact that if I had to send this email, the relationship probably wasn't meant for me. I just had to go through it, through the experience, and take it for what it is. I'm actually too nervous to hear y'all advice. It may hurt my feelings, LOL. I just needed to vent. I'm sorry, Kitty, but we are already here.
We're already invested. You're going to get this work. You're going to get this
work. The subject is, being with the shits a bad thing?
No.
Okay. Hey, guys. Y'all can call me Kitty. I know, it's random, but it was a nickname that was given to me. Okay, what's up, Kitty?
Mm-hmm. Kitty want this mouse, that's what it is.
Kitty want that thing pet. I hear you.
Kitty want that thing. She want that thing pet.
Stroked, baby, you know? All right. She said, yeah, I am 25 years old and I have a 2-year-old son. Okay. My son's father and I are no longer together due to an unhealthy relationship. I took about a year and a half being single, finding my happiness and loving on me. As you should, queen.
As you should not.
Don't listen to Mouse. After dumb. Some time, I met my current man. Side note, my son's father and my current man are people I've met on dating apps. Yeah, sounds like a recipe for disaster, I know. My male friends tell me to stay off dating apps because they think it's for people who have issues, LOL. I don't think I have issues. I just don't think I really pay attention to men when I'm out on the scene. Now, everybody has issues.
Sounds like an issue.
Everybody has issues, and you thinking that you don't have an issue is an issue. Let's get back into this. I'll try to give y'all a little background about me and my man. I'm born and raised in Los Angeles. More specifically, I'm a Valley girl. Oh, you're from the Valley. Heard you, Ma. I currently reside in Sherman Oaks. My man is 31 and was born in Chicago. Went to high school in Atlanta and moved to Los Angeles 10 years ago. Okay, he's a transplant. He stays in Woodland Hills and has a 2-year-old daughter. Okay, so you have a similar struggle. So we are fairly close to each other. If you're familiar with the SFV, what is San Fernando Valley? I guess that's San Fernando Valley. I guess it stands for that. Anyway, we met online and instantly hit it off. And he invited me to Chicago to bring in the new year together. And I met his family and his friends. We've only known each other for 4 months now, so I'm not rushing or forcing anything. But there are a couple of things that are concerning me. One, I've never been to his house. He claims his daughter's mom has access to his house and has cameras set up so that she can monitor their daughter when she's not around. I eventually heard the house is in her name, but she, quote unquote, doesn't live there. Yikes! Two, I haven't met his daughter, which isn't a huge deal, but he has met and been around my son often. He doesn't want to meet his daughter. Like this.
That's
your problem.
The fact that you introduced. Yeah,
the hell? Yeah. Three, he fell for me pretty quickly, and I was concerned about, me not giving my all to him. So when I did start opening up, he started to pull back and became more distant. He became more distant when you opened up. What are we talking about? You opened up that he became more. We'll get to that. Number four, don't judge. This is a judgment-free zone. We have had a couple of threesomes already prior to becoming exclusive. What? I've told him I'm down to do it for his happiness because he gets off seeing me receive double the pleasure, and I believe him. He'll tell me he loves me while we're fucking another girl, and I've told him it's not something I want to do all the time, more like every blue moon. But when I told him I wanted to pick a girl because I didn't like his taste in women, my plans didn't fall through, and I felt like I disappointed him. My question is, why do men tend to want to lock me down and then fall back? Do men look at me as some sort of fast girl because I can be with the shits? I'm not easily impressed, but once you get me to open up, it's a whole new realm. She left out an A. So it's rem. Realm.
You enter
into with me. I'll always remain easygoing and down to earth, but I feel like niggas get too comfortable and start slacking off. So I broke up with him a week ago. At least I feel like it was a breakup because I told him to come get his shit from my crib. But we haven't actually had a real conversation to give each other closure. Is he avoiding a breakup? If he is, why? Side note, I'm a Virgo and he's a Taurus. So we're both pretty sexual beings. There's so much more to it, but I know y'all hate long ass letters. Any advice would be helpful. Okay, let's look at these pictures. Okay. All right.
My Shiva would work weak.
She's the one in the front with the red bottom, the yellow bone.
Okay.
All right.
Got yourself okay.
Nice.
I don't see why she felt the need to send us a picture of this nigga
with his goddamn shirt off. I could definitely go without that. You know, I don't need to see all of that. It's not necessary.
That was not pertinent.
It was definitely not pertinent.
Certainly.
Okay. Your question is, why do men tend to want to lock you down and then fall back? I think, and I'll start it off, and then I'll let Mouse Jones. Mm-hmm. I'll be good cop, Mouse Jones. You'll be bad cop. Okay, good cop, bad cop.
this is Mouse Jones reading for
you. So, considering that you guys have only been talking for 4 months and that you guys have engaged in, as you say, a couple of threesomes, and you're wondering why you started to quote unquote open up and I guess tell them more about yourself or whatever, why is he being distant? You gave him the pussy, and not only did you give him the pussy, you gave him other pussies. Like,
you gave multiple pussies before he locked. Before
you gave my man multiple boxes to play it. You know how like on Christmas Day, you know, a lot of the younger kids, they like, you know, they open up the toy box and it's like, oh my God, you think they're gonna play with a toy? And no, they just wanna play in the box. Obviously, he just wanted to play in the box. If he's not connecting with you, if he's not like trying to figure you out, it fell for you quickly in 4 months. Slim. He wanted that thing. And you let that thing. You let that thing.
He got the thing.
You kept, and not even did that you let it thing. You kept that thing thanging.
That thing was thanging.
You kept that thing.
If that thing was doing something.
That thing was thanging. You kept that thing thanging and brought other things around to thang with you.
You bought more things to the thing.
Go ahead, Mouse.
Ooh, child, where do we start? So clearly, you know, this is all in jest because she's already made the right decision. There's so many places. Listen, we're all sexual beings. You're in charge of sexual agency. Absolutely. But sex does not exist in a vacuum when in a relationship. Talk about it. So when you start to have these massive sexual adventures, there's nothing else to like work for, right? So here's another thing. You said he fell for you quickly. Whatever quickly is in 4 months. You start to open up after he already fell for you. So maybe he's falling back because he's already put his all out and didn't get the response that he was looking for. Maybe you could be playing chess with checker players.
Wow.
I think that's really what it boils down to. The whole entire time that letter, that's what I just kept hearing. Like, you're playing chess with checker players.
And giving up all of your pieces.
You gave up your queen.
And gave him other queens.
Beth Harmon would never.
By the way, did you see that she won the Golden Globe?
Yes, I did. But I also seen that Matt Black.
I like that.
Shout out to Daniel Okuye. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to Shorty that played Nina Simone.
No, not Nina. Not Nina. She played Billie Holiday.
I said it wrong. Billie Holiday. Look at me. My full Black History,
Day.
My overload.
100 Day.
Can somebody introduce
Lord of Mercy?
Hey, he's married. Yeah. I'm not.
I'm gonna stay out of that.
Audra, if you would like to be married, hit me up. But yeah, girl, you listen. Now it doesn't matter what we say here because you have already made the right decision. Moving on. Just make sure you listen. Be smart. Don't be stupid. Exactly. That's the only advice I got for you. Yeah. Yeah, be smart, don't be stupid, because, you know, you're 25.
Yes, 25.
I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I was going to say something, and we definitely would have got canceled, because you would have agreed, and we would have got canceled. Not going to say it. I'll wait till these mics are off the way it's supposed to be done.
Exactly.
Yeah, but listen, shout out to Kitty. I'm glad that you got the necessary closure that you needed. And congrats to all the new On that note, listen, if y'all have a listen to letter you want read on air, make sure you send it to guysnextdoor123@gmail.com. That is guysnextdoor123@gmail.com. Make sure you put your own name in the subject line or Che's gonna read what's in front of her. If it is a relationship-based question. Doesn't have to be, but if it is, make sure you send a picture of yourself and your suitor. Preferably if it's a nigger with his fucking shirt on.
Yo, the hard ER, though.
Because, Kitty, you bugged out.
Yeah, man. Ain't nobody want to see that man's nipples.
We literally never wanted to see that. I don't know who you thought it was.
I guess she thought Che was going to answer it, but
here goes the thing. Che isn't sitting on the house. Three niggas are sitting on the house. Therefore, it needs to be presentable for us.
Exactly.
Okay? Thanks.
Oh, my gosh.
She's acting like she don't know how toxic masculinity or patriarchy works.
Oh, man.
The fuck is wrong with her?
Man, I seen more nigga titty than I needed to today.
Oh, Lord, that was more nigga than I had to ever see in my life. But if I'm being honest, Che is off cooking dinner in the kitchen.
Yeah, or something. I think I saw something.
Yeah, I smell something burning. So on that note, there's no Che explanation. So what I will say,
what Chelina?
Make sure you follow us at all social media platforms. Guys Next Door, Guys Next Door, Guys Next Door Pod. It is Guys Next Door Pod on all social media platforms. Remember, if you're on Clubhouse, to follow the Guys Next Door Clubhouse Room. Make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/guysnextdoorpodcast. And most importantly, head your black ass over to that patreon.com/guysnextdoorpod. Become a patron and pick up your keys today.
Please.
On that note, I'm Mouse Jones.
I'm Mac Wilds.
That's Mac Wilds.
Peace.
And we'll see y'all ass on Thursday when we being gossipy and messy and chatty. You know, because we give y'all balance. Get y'all ass back.
Peace.
We are Guys Next Door.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.